2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Amanda Dixon is the longtime host of Utah's Morning News. You can hear more of her each weekday morning between 5 and 9 here on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back to A Woman's View here on KSL News Radio. Such a pleasure this week to have Kristen Sokol with me, professional relationship and dating coach. Jill Atwood is here, senior communications strategist for the Department of Veterans Affairs. And Susan Spears is with me, CEO of the Utah Association of CPAs. We are recording this program in the beginning of June, and June is Pride Month. This is more controversial this year than it's been in many years, at least in my feeling. Because of what I heard the term Bud Lighting the other day. So now Bud Light is a verb now. A company can be Bud Lighted if it does something that's too supportive of LGBTQ plus individuals. The people on the other side of that, the people in the far right of the Conservative Party, will lash out against a business that is obviously supporting LGBTQ and then target. Target pulls a whole bunch of its rainbow stuff because they started having people that were threatening their employees. I don't blame them. I'm not making a judgment on the – I mean, corporations exist to make money. I understand that. But this feels like the most unsupportive time for Pride Month in a long time. To me, Kristen, does it feel that way to you, or is that just me?
Okay, so I could see why you would see it that way, because we have a lot more fringe than we used to. However, I don't want to overlook what's going on in the middle, right? Including with me, my own self. I have come so far in the last 15 years. At the beginning, when Pride Month became a thing and Pride flags, I was scratching my head simply because I was ignorant and I didn't understand, right? And then I got close to some people who are in the community, and I started to understand what this meant to them, right? And what those colors meant to them, and how having this time of recognition and celebration, what it meant to them. And so my eyes over the last 10 or 15 years have been really open to what it's been like for our queer brothers and sisters to exist in a heteronormative society. And it is not easy. Right. And just, I mean, for all the listeners out there, imagine if the way you were, like, attracted to the opposite sex made you a freak. What if you had to hide it? Imagine how that would be if you were a freak because of the way that you were. Immediate empathy is what we feel. Immediate empathy. If we imagine that the way our orientation, the way that we feel, the way that we naturally act makes us a freak, we feel empathy. So to me, Pride Month is about being bold. Even though there are people who don't get it yet, who aren't there yet, this is an opportunity for those of us whose eyes are at least somewhat opened to be a little bit bolder and have conversations. So right now at this very moment, I have 12 colorful pinwheels in my flower beds, and I have a really pretty rainbow flag with the sunshine on it that says welcome.
And beautiful, Kristen.
You know that, and it raises some eyebrows in my conservative community, and it allows me to have conversations about what this means to me and what it means to my friends who are in the queer community.
I love it. I love it. Speak to that, Jill.
Oh my goodness, I echo it 100%. I don't see any of this as negative. It has come so far, and I think it's amazing. I mean, we haven't had Pride Month for all that long. I think it's a wonderful celebration of these folks who have been repressed and scared and discriminated against for so long. I, too, grew up in middle America with Republican conservative parents. And it just wasn't really even talked about back then. And I have learned so much from my teenage boys who don't see gay. They don't see color. When I say a Black woman or a gay man, they're like, Mom, they're just a woman or a man. Like, I don't see it the same way that you do. Why do you have to have a label on it? And I thought to myself, what a good point. Why is there a label? So I have learned so much from them. I've had two experiences that just give me goosebumps. I walked into a Banana Republic down at City Creek a few weeks ago, and there was this gorgeous transgender man, just woman now, just decked to the nines and beautiful and out and proud. And I complimented her on how she looked. And I just thought to myself, she is just owning it and happy and out there and not afraid. And it just tickled me to death. And I was in a Nordstrom the other day, and there was obviously a gay man trying on women's shoes. And I thought, 20 years ago, even 10 years ago, we would have never seen this. They feel okay. Yeah, there's a lot of noise from the right. Yeah, they have the loudest megaphone right now. But you're right. The people in the middle, the normal people, they're not bothering me. They don't impact my family. Why can't they love and be who they need to be and want to be? So I think I ignore all that stuff. I think it's wonderful what's happening. And I applaud everyone in that community and just the Pride Month. I'm all for it. I've been in their parades. I've supported them at the VA. It's fantastic. I've met amazing queer people. So there, that's my soapbox.
Okay, good. Susan, what do you say, Susan?
Yeah, I like Jill, that you said that these people are owning who they are. Mm-hmm. And I think along that line, we all have to own who we are and let others own who they are. So that, you know, so that we can get along, we've got to start moving forward and stop having these labels. You're right. Our kids, they don't see color. They see individuals. They see human beings just like them that have needs and wants and desires. And I think that the younger generation is really teaching us a lot. And we could learn from them.
Agreed. So well said. So well said. Let me take a break and we're going to come back and have a little fun. If you'll indulge me. That's just ahead on A Woman's View. Don't go away.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.